M test. We're up to Pasuk Tezayin, page 442. Page 442. Ach Elokim Yifte Nafshi. Okay, we're going to finish up the Mizmor with the Mitzudais, then we're going to review it again. Just the Psukim, then we're going to do the Rashis. Right now, Ach Elokim Yifte Nafshi Yad Sho'ol Ki Yifachini Sela. Ach, only may Hashem redeem my neshama. Again, the major theme of this Mizmor is to describe over here the futility in pursuing material gain. The futility or the avera of having an attitude. The key word in the Mizmar is attitude. The attitude where the only thing in this world that counts is Gashmias. We all need Gashmias, we all strive, and that's what we're here for. But it's nothing more than attitude.
What does it mean exactly? Nafshi miyad sho'ol. It's after death or and he's going to be rescued somehow from the...
Save me from dying. It means I shouldn't die. Save, redeem my soul from descending into the grave. Mm-hmm. Keep me alive. What is the value of being alive in this world? You can pay taxes. Now, the value of being alive is opportunities to serve Hashem. Every moment is a moment of opportunity. I remember once a store person was very, very distraught. Very distraught, and he was just telling everyone that he wants to die, and there were certain people who could not handle it. So then there was a person who says, I'll take care of it, don't worry. Everyone out of the room, and this person walks into him and he says, I hear you, so the guy, the patron said, I want to die. So the person says, like he laughs, what's the rush? He says, what's the rush? Don't worry, we're all going to die. What's the rush? No rush. You'll die, don't worry. Guarantee. Itaka, the person died a long time ago, he died. You'll die. There's no rush. There's no rush to die. In the meantime, while you're here, enjoy. Enjoy the opportunities that present themselves in any little way that they come your way to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Because at the end of the day, that's all you got. No one's taking with them into the next world their car, their house, their fame, their covet. And a number of years, no one even remembers anyone ever lived. You go to the cemetery, look at all these graves. Does anyone know who these people are? Mayor Appeldorf knows who they are. But besides Mayor Appeldorf, go look at the cemetery. There are weeds growing. No, does anyone ever visit these graves? Does anyone know who they are? What do you take with you when it's all over? You take with you Torah u'maisim tovim. Ach Elokim yifte nafshi mayu Hashem redeem my neshama miyat sh'ol. Redeem it from the grave. Save me from going into the grave. Ki yikocheli sela. You Hashem, you will take me. You will spare me. Let's see the mitzvah stomach. Mitzvah pasuk design miyat sh'ol leval tichla nafshi ma'guf v'kirvi ki yikocheli sela. What does it mean yikocheli? Es nafshi yikach liyos genuza imoy lemala ad olam. So this is stira. This end of the Pasuk is really basically a contradiction to the first part of the Pasuk. The first part of the Pasuk says, save my soul, redeem me from going into the grave, but instead take me esnavshi yikach liyos genuza imoy lemala adalom. So the answer to this theory is what we learned yesterday, the tzoin. When a sheep dies, the Pasuk said that not only does its guf go into the ground, the neshama goes into the ground. Now we don't know what this means. And what this pasuk over here is saying is, well, this is a little, so we're changing the pshat in the pasuk. I told you, Ms. Dr. Beanstalk, that this pasuk means save me from dying. No, that's not really what it means according to the mitzudos. We're here describing after death. The person already is gone. He's dead. And he's in the grave. What's in the grave? What's in the grave is the guf and the neshama. And when the neshama is in the grave, the neshama is calling out, get me out of here. And it's asking for Hashem to dispatch a SWAT team of malachim to retrieve the neshama and bring the neshama to the higher worlds. Okay, this is very, very mystical. This type of stuff over here is really mystical stuff because no one ever came back to tell us how this works. But if you follow the sequence of the psukim, what it's really saying is that when a person dies, first there are steps. when the person dies, the body and the neshama descend into the grave. And after the grave is closed, then Hashem pulls the neshama, just the neshama, the guf remains, the neshama out of the grave and brings the neshama to Shamayim. This explains why there's such a very, there's an inyan, we don't appreciate these things because we don't understand really these works, is there's an emergency almost in halacha that a person should be buried ASAP. When a person dies, we know that al pi halacha, it is ideal that the kavura should take place as soon as possible. Because we don't really understand why, but there's a mesora, is that the neshama is in agony until the guf, until it's buried.
And when you say because of kavod hamais.
Okay, so you're saying something very true. What you're saying is true. There's an idiom of kavod hamais that in times, in the time of Chazal, there was no refrigeration, and the moment a person dies, the body begins to rapidly decay. And the warmer it is outside, it's not just a matter of decay, it's ma'os. It becomes very, very, very unpleasant, and it's not a covet for the person that his body should be in the state of decay, not today. Generally, that's not an issue because of technology and refrigeration. So there is much less of an inyan of bizoyin hames after a person dies because of refrigeration and all these things. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, uses that yisoid as a very, very powerful leniency in many, many issues of there's no emergency to bury a person immediately. L'may nafkamina, on Yom Tov, not to bury, what? The first day of Yom Tov, the second day of Yom Tov. According to halacha, if they're in Chutz Li'aretz, let's say it's a two-day Yom Tov. It's always a two-day Yom Tov in Chutz Li'aretz. So if you on Shabbos we don't bury a, we don't no one, no one is buried no matter what. Yom Tov now, oh, what's the problem? But by not burying on Shabbos, you know there are. On Shabbos we don't bury. So there'll be a delay. All right, what could you possibly do? On Yom Tov, if you're not going to bury on the first day, you're not going to bury on the second day, so it's going to be 3 days almost. It's going to be 3 days until the person is buried. If there's no refrigeration, in 3 days, it's going to be disgusting. It's going to be a terrible bezoin for the mace. So therefore, by the way, Rabbi Saul, everyone who's online, I apologize to you, I can barely hear you, because I have to, during the break, if you remind me, I'll reboot the computer, I can barely hear anyone who makes a comment online. I apologize, it's hard for me to hear because I have there's a glitch here with the computer that it has to be rebooted many times in order for it to recognize the speaker. So I can't hear. If you make a comment and I don't respond to you, it's not because I'm trying to be rude, it's because just posh, I can't hear. Now, as far as people in the room, I'm trying to be rude. All right, in any event, going back, so Rav Moshe Feinstein says that there used to be, if a person is not going to bury on the first day and the second day, so you can wait to bury the person the third day, is going to be a very big bezoyin to the mace. Therefore, Chazal were meikel, and they said that on the first day of Yom Tov, a body can be buried through a goy. On the second day Yom Tov, they never enacted Sveika D'Yom L'Chumra, and it can be buried through a Jew. Jews, 10 Jews, can participate in the burial of a person, do any malacha they need to do to bury a Jew on the second day of Yom Tov. Yom Tov Sheni, it says in Shulchan Aruch, it can be buried, this is in the Gemara. The Gemara takes Shulchan Aruch, can be buried Al Yidei Yisrael. First day Yom Tov, Al Yidei Amamin, can be buried through a non-Jew. Rav Moshe Feinstein was read the Tshuvos, was very against this in America in modern times. He held that no longer should this be done in America. This follows Rav Moshe was very. Rav Moshe saw in America a terrible Chil Shabbos, Chil Yom Tov, and because today there is no Bezoyin Hameis, because there is refrigeration, he held that it is not correct. No, that's another difference. That's an entirely different halacha. You bury a person, you come back to the cemetery for 3 days to check. Yes, this is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It says in Shulchan Aruch, they buried in shallow graves. They didn't bury 6 feet under. Okay, they buried in shallow, very, very shallow graves. And for the next 3 days, after you bury a person, you come back, you check. You come back to the cemetery. You bury the person immediately. No delays. You bury him. But you bury him in a shallow grave where, if he's really alive, he'll be able to breathe through. He'll be able to breathe through the soil. And you come back 3 days in a row to listen. Maybe someone over there is talking. Get me out of here.
That was where the expression came, the bell ringer, by the way.
A bell, you put a bell inside the coffin.
After a couple of times when it happened that somebody woke up because they thought he was dead and they weren't, they had a minute to stick a bell over the grave, so they called it that's where the expression the bell ringer.
It wasn't so uncommon. They didn't have technology to really know when the person really died. A person, they take their pulse, they think he's dead, but they didn't have all the modern technology today to be absolutely certain. So for 3 days, this is Shulchan Aruch, Mefakhin, it says in Shulchan, Mefakhin es ha-mesim gimel yamim. You go to the cemetery 3 days in a row, and you bend down on the grave, and you listen, maybe he's still alive. Maybe we buried him by mistake. Shulchan Aruch. Mefachin, you know how many stories there are in morgues? It happens today also. They show even during COVID, they show these video clips. They were taking people out, and all of a sudden, they freaked out. The guy in the coffin starts moving.
I read, I think, when he was a small child, he was growing up, his father, all Russian Jews were there, sitting, drinking tea.
Yeah.
There was a guy who was known to have extra schnapps.
Yeah.
And his name was the Teuter.
The Teuter, the dead one.
The dead one. And he was small. He was inquiring, why are you calling him the
because he was once dead, he came back to life.
They thought he was dead. Taking him to the cemetery, they almost put him into the grave, and he woke up and says, what are you doing to me?
Wow. Someone in my family in the Holocaust, he was in the morgue. He was in the morgue and they were about to bury him and all of a sudden he woke up. Someone in my family, my grandmother's brother, they thought he was dead and they were taking him out and then all of a sudden he started moving and they all freaked out. And then obviously they made a mistake. They thought he was dead. He wasn't really dead. This is very common. It says in Shulchan Aruch, Mefachin es ha-mesim gimel yamim. It doesn't mean you don't bury them for 3 days. You bury them immediately. However, you go and you check on them for 3 days, maybe they're still alive. Now this is another concept. This concept over here is telling you this very, we have a house. So Moshe Feinstein says that Bizman says, since there is no nivul ha-mes, because of refrigeration, no one should bury a person on the first day Yom Tov, not by a goy, and on the second day Yom Tov, it should not be buried by Jews. It should not be done. It should wait until after Yom Tov, because since, basically, Rav Moshe seems to say, since Bizman, there's no issue, the Iker is the Nigle, Teres HaNigle. The reason why we do this on the time in the Chazal, they did this on Yom Tov, Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni, Yom Tov Rishon through a Goy, and Yom Tov Sheni through a Yisrael, is because of Nivul HaMeis. Because the body decays and it's disgusting. So Chazal were very lenient. They did not enact these takanas and they allowed a Jew to bear it. Shabbos, they did not make any takanas. Shabbos, and it's kind of gurgly aser. Right, and they buried the Mitzvah Shabbos. Time of Chazal, they buried Mitzvah Shabbos. Today, everybody says it's not necessary, and therefore, if we're going to start doing this, it's going to lead to a terrible, terrible zilzul in the Kedusha of Yom Tov. If you're going to have a funeral on the first day of Yom Tov, and Goyim are going to be driving the hearse, and Goyim are going to be doing all the burial, one thing is going to lead to another. Certainly, on the second day Yom Tov, when you're going to let Jews go and drive cars, and go to the cemetery and dig graves, and sign papers, and do all these, one thing will lead to another, and you're only allowed to have the minimal number of people that you need, and it's going to turn into a big ceremony. They're going to end up being, there are going to be hundreds of people that are going to start going to this funeral being Mechal Yom Tov. It's going to lead to a terrible, terrible zilzul of Yom Tov. The Ifr of Moshe Paskin that it should not be done. However, Hasidim were not Mekabel this Psak. In the Litvish Welt, you don't ever see it being done, as far as I know. You never see, I've never heard of a funeral in this community on Yom Tov, not the first day, not the second day. I've never heard of such a thing. However, I've been told that in the Hasidic world, it's very common.
There was a Rebbe who was left on the second day, and they brought him from Williamsburg to Borough Park. I think they buried him over here in Washington.
Washington, wherever. So they the goyim, the Hasidim, they do this. They do this. They do this hayoyim. And okay, Baruch, I can barely hear. So I'm going to leave. Yeah, yeah.
She was lifted the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and once Rosh Hashanah, the first time, the hearse picked her up, took her all the way out to Kiryas Yoel. And they had like 3-4 people
in there. But you have to understand, in America today, when a person, you want to make arrangements, it's not like it was in time of Chazal, where you just go and you take the body and you bury it. Today, you're dealing with signing 1,000 documents and making 100 phone calls and making all the government rules and regulations. You're dealing with a very, very complicated procedure that involves a lot of chil yom tif. A lot of chil yom tif. And then when you're going to stop being mefar seim, it takes away from the whole yom tif. And Moshe was very much against this. This should not be done. And his psak won the day amongst the Litvish Olam. I've never heard, maybe you've heard, in the Litvish crowd.
Rabbi Kalman's wife on the east side.
Yeah.
She died. They had the funeral on the second day of Sukkot.
Okay.
It was a big to-do that they did it.
They did it. Okay.
Moshe was there.
Moshe was there?
I don't say he went to the funeral. I don't say mm-hmm. But he died on the second
okay.
day.
Okay. Chassidim do this, they do this. Chassidim, not all of them. I think a lot of Chassidim don't do this either. But Chassidim, real Chassidim, they do this.
They also put notices in the paper, Erev Yom Tov, I see this in the news all the time, that if Chas v'Chalila someone has an emergency of a death,
yeah.
This is a special person or number to call, who they will take care of everything.
Okay,
and
I mean...
to be Malamed's first. Today, everything is, I think, the way from Nachem. Everything is computerized.
Nothing is simple. Nothing is simple. Nothing is so. Whatever has to be done, according to the halach, whatever needs to be done can be done. If whatever you have to, you have to do. Oh, nothing is easy. It's not. It is not easy to get out of this world. Not easy.
It's not cheap.
It's not easy to get out of this world. It doesn't. So now. Everything that I've just told you is according to the Teres HaNigle. Teres HaNistar, we have a tradition, is that the Neshama has a lot of Agmas Nefesh. The Neshama has a lot of Tsar in there being a delay. Once the body, once a Neshama is no longer here and the body has not yet been buried, there is a Misoira that the Neshama is in a state of Tsar. And the quicker, the faster the body is buried, the sooner the that neshama can be freed from that tsar. We have no idea. No one today can tell you what that means. Im kabolahi nikabel, and therefore that is why you see in Eretz Yisrael, and in America to a certain degree amongst in certain cemeteries, they will have funerals at night.
Really.
Yeah. Funerals, Lakewood. It's Lakewood. They have a very big Lakewood. They have cemeteries. In Muncie, there are certain places in New Jersey. There are certain communities. There are certain communities that work outside the unions. They have their own type of arrangement, or they pay an enormous amount of money. I don't know what they do. For money, you can get anything.
I think Rebbe's from Soloveitchik. Boston
was
lifted. There
was
a strike.
Yeah.
So they called up Kritsky.
Yeah.
And he got a bunch of Lubavitchers. The union was accepting. The Lubavitchers did great because they all had beards. They looked like rabbis.
Yeah.
They let them.
They had some. They pulled off some shtick. Okay, whatever it is, but
I had a dinner grave in MTJ. They sent us one class.
Yeah.
During a grave strike, they sent us.
Really? Wow.
My mother was plenty hot. I was 12. I was bar mitzvah already. I don't know. I don't remember 12 or 13. We go. I remember whose grave it was.
Who was David Thor's mother?
Same story. It was.
Yeah.
I go to
the grave themselves. What? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So this is. Rabbi says. So there is a Misoira. There is this Misoira, and you always hear about this. Is there's a Misoira? Al Pitaris HaNistar. The neshama is in a state of agmas net of tsar, whatever this means. Until therefore, that is why in Eretz Yisrael, it is given that funerals, burials take place immediately. The goyim, you look in this country, and here a politician dies, it takes weeks. You hear this, they don't have a day until they plan the funeral. It could take weeks until they finally get their act together and plan a funeral. And by people that are Shomer Torah mitzvahs, the person is buried before the announcement is even made. It's like 1, 2, 3.
Overnight.
Very, very swift. Because of this, this is all Torah HaNistar. This is all a Kabbalah. Now, this pasuk ties into this principle. Because we've learned over here, in yesterday, Katsoin L'shol Shatu, and the Mitzvah Tzavit is telling us his interpretation, when a sheep is slaughtered, a sheep has a guf and a neshama. I don't know what that means, but that's what it says. And when the sheep is slaughtered and the sheep is buried, whatever that means, eat, whatever it is, it goes into the grave, two things go into the grave and they don't come out. The guf and the neshama. The neshama goes down. Mi yodea sheyere, there's a pasuk in Koheles that the neshama of an animal, it goes into the grave and that's where it stays. End. A human being is the same thing. That's what the Mitzvah Tzavit seems to say. When a person dies, his guf goes into the grave and his neshama goes into the grave. And then after this stimas hagoylel, which is the rabbinic term for burial, only then can the neshama be retrieved to Shemayim. And sometimes a person can worry, hey, maybe they're not coming for me. Person passes away, they bury him, his body's in the grave, and his neshama is in the grave. Okay, what's next? When are they coming for me? So here in this pasuk, the neshama is crying to Hashem, Ach Elokim yifte nafshi miyat sha'ol. I'm dead. Very morbid topic for Erev Shabbos, right? I'm dead. I'm in the grave. I'm in the grave with my neshama. What's going to be here? I'm going to sit here in the cemetery? I don't want to sit in the cemetery. What am I doing over here in the grave? So the neshama cries, Ach Elokim yifte nafshi. Get me out of here. Yifte nafshi miyat sha'ol. Ki yikocheni, you Hashem, take me to you, take me out of here and bring me to Gan Eden, bring me to the upper worlds. Listen, you're talking to the wrong guy. I don't know. Yeah, this. 3 days, 7 years. The kafakela. What's the kafakela? The slingshot. You go back and forth. So what happens? They say in these spooky books. So finally, okay, they come, they send a team. They send an entourage to take the neshama, and they take the neshama to Shemayim. And then when they get to Shemayim, you don't like what you see. So you come back down to this world. And then you don't like what you see down here either. And you go back and forth for a period of time, up and down, up and down, up and down, like a slingshot. You go up and down, up and down, and then after a period of time you come to the realization that there's really nothing here in this world to stay around for. And you say goodbye to this world for good. And you go to Shemayim forever. But that's a process that does not happen. The neshama, it goes into it goes to Shemayim. I'm not impressed. I can't find the shul to davening up there. So you come down over here again, and then you see, there's nothing really here for me either. Let's try again upstairs. You go upstairs. Maybe a little. I told you, you're talking to the wrong guy. I don't know. I'm telling you what it says in the books. If what it says in these books is not, I don't know. This is what it says in these books.
It's all saying that the Shem is not happy in this world because it comes from the palace.
Yes. But when the neshama is in this, but the neshama is in this world for a long period of time, it becomes comfortable here. It becomes megushim. It becomes not so bad here. Gehenna, you know that why there's this old joke. I don't know if it's a joke. It's a chazal. Why are there 7 madurais in Gehenna? There are 7 different levels in Gehenna, and the person is cycled between them all the time. Because if you go to one section, you get used to it. And you adapt. It's not so bad. There are a lot of people in prison don't want to leave. There are a lot of people that are locked up in prison. They do not want to leave. They have their turf.
free room and board.
It's free room and board, and it's their turf, and they have, and they're the balabas. They have their security. They have their people. It's a whole civilization. It's a whole civilization in these places. How could it possibly be? You get used to something. You become megushim, and you don't relate to what goes on in the Ilam HaEmes.
They can't function in the outside world.
That's also true. So this pasuk is saying this very spooky principle. Let's read the words of the Mitzvah stuff one more time.
Ach. By the way, Pesach Levi described the Stivas HaGolel. He pointed it out. They have a stone put over the grave, and then there's another stone.
A vertical stone.
A vertical stone on the side.
That closes it. It's in the Mishnais. This is all laid out in the Mishnais. The Mishnais Masech to Oilos. It lays out in very great detail all the different
expression of
right. We use, because today we don't have those. We have to adapt. We don't have those stones and the vertical, the horizontal. This whole technique.
You know that there was, in the cemeteries, they had that.
Some there are still cemeteries. Okay, yeah. Different ways. It's a whole science of how the proper way to bury a person.
I've seen in Yerushalayim, all the funerals that I've been they put in no coffin or anything. But there's always the slabs
on top.
Inside.
On top. Right. That's a new thing. They've been doing that for many, many years. They're right. Today, in Eretz Yisrael, they don't throw dirt. No, I don't think it's because of that. It's because of Tumah. No, it's not because of Tumah. It doesn't make a difference. The Tumah, anything that's miyuchid for the mace, there's no din of a tefach that's going to be soisim the Tumah, unless it's not miyuchid for the mace. Inside the kever, it doesn't make a difference. The tumah of a kever in Eretz Yisrael, with even though they put those slabs, that does not chitzetz b'bnei atumah, impossible. That's miyuchid for the mace. That is the din of a kever. That it's done just as a covered for the mace. They don't want to go put earth mamish on the mace itself. And traditionally, they go and they put dirt on the mace itself. It's a more dignified type of burial, is where the mace is buried, and he's not suffocated. You don't want to suffocate him. Stone, they use stone, they put slabs. Okay, this is a very morbid topic. Let's go further.
Dirt,
earth. Correct. You are correct. It's very important. You got to be careful what you say. 100%. They teach you that. I remember they taught us that in rabbi school. They taught us that. You never say dirt. It's not. You're right. You're correct. You are correct. Correct. I'm sorry. Okay.
You corrected yourself the second time you said that.
Okay. Let's go weiter. Okay. Now let's read over the Mitzvah stuff one more time to clarify this one.
What page are you on now?
We're on page 442. Look at it. Okay. Miyad Shol. From the grave, leval tichle nafshi, leval, over here, the person, Rabbi Yisai, please, we're over here on page 442, in the Mitzudos David Miyad Shol, what's happening, over here, at this point in time, the person already is dead, he's gone, but where is he? He has not yet left this world, his body and neshama is in the grave, and the neshama over here is speaking, and he says, Hashem, redeem me. Ach elokim yifte nafshi miyad shol. What does this mean? Mitzudos, bottom of the page. Leval tichle nafshi im haguf be kivri. Don't let my neshama remain here with my decaying body in the grave. I don't want to be here. But rather, ki yikocheni sela. Take me. Take my neshama out of this location. Es nafshi yikach lihiyois ginuzo imoy lemala. Get me out of here. Get my neshama out of this box in the ground. Bring it up lemala ad oilam to be with Hashem forever. Okay, this is Kabbalistic stuff. Okay, Kabbalistic stuff. I'm just saying words. I obviously have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm just telling you what it says in these books. Not in this context. According to the Mitzudos,
so you're equating Nefesh with
Shoma. No, I can't hear two people at the same time. Okay. Mordechai, what were you saying?
I'm saying that you've been equivocating nefesh to neshama.
It's a general term. There are five different terms, five basic terms. And
you
then
nefesh, neshama.
So Yedidya.
The nefesh is a lower form. It could be neshama went to Shemayim. The nefesh is closer to, I mean, forget you.
Okay, this is well over my head.
It's more Magusha.
We're talking generic terms. We're just talking general concepts.
It could be nefesh, behemti. It could be even the behemoth might have a nefesh. But the neshama they don't have.
Okay, I don't think the mitzudis means to focus on the different elements. I don't think the mitzudis is trying to pinpoint the different elements. It's generic terms. We're talking a basic concept that a person passes away, the neshama goes through a process, and the process involves first going into the grave. Okay. Rav Kalman, what were you saying, Rav Kalman? Rav Kalman, you wanted to say something? Speak loud because it's hard to hear.
The Targum says...
Okay, we're right. The Targum is different. Right, we're not dealing with the Targum. Targum.
Right.
Okay, Belin Yedder will come to the Targum later. Okay, Enochanami. Right now we're doing the very simple level. The Targum. Right, the Targum says the word Shol refers to Gehenim, which is a different, whole different scenario. We're dealing with a person who's a Rasha. The person in Gehenim is davening to get out of Gehenim. Okay, there's a different mahalach. Okay, in a chanad. Let's do the pasuk shot. Pasuk yitzayin al tira ki yash. Now the mizmar is going back. It's winding down. It's like the chasima of the bracha. You have a bracha. You discuss many topics, and then when you come to the end of the bracha, you chosim the bracha by reviewing the major theme of the bracha. This is what we're doing now. Now we are reviewing. Al tira ki yasher ish, a person should not be afraid. Why would you be afraid? Ki yasher ish ki yirbe kivoid beso. Let's read the next psukim. Ki loivim moiso yikach hakol. He will not take in his death anything or everything. Lo yered achadav kivoidoy. Now this is something that most people don't realize. Maybe people are wise enough to realize they're not taking their money with them, but they think they're going to take the covered with them. You can't take your money with you, but the kavod.
Who says kavod means money? Maybe it means
assets. Yeah. Okay, I hear what you're saying. Rav Mechol wants to say the two different terms meaning for the word assets.
You've seen it used in.
Okay, you're right. Tell my father this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, tell my father it's called kivodi. So the mefarshim amadayek that sometimes it sells it with a vav, kavod with a vav. And kavod without a vav. And kavod without a vav refers to assets in the parasha. And with a vav refers to his stature. The machalik, because Yosef says it twice. He tells his father, tells the brothers twice to tell my father about my honor. Why is he repeating himself? He's not, because one place it says the vav, one without a vav, two different types of kavod. Okay, let's read it. Ki nafshay v'chayiv yivarech. While he's alive, while a person's life, you should bless Hashem, v'yoyducha, and thank you, ki seitiv lach, that you have done good, that and say to Hashem that you have done good. Okay, let's be more precise. Let's see the mitzudos. I forgot what it says here already. Mitzudos David. Let's go back to pasuk yitzayin in the mitzudos David, yitzayin lo sira al tidag bavur kinas he'oshir. Don't be worried about the jealousy of the Asher. Over here, he adds in one critical word to understand the Pshat and the Pasuk. Sorry, what? Don't, there's a critical word over here that he's adding in. Altira Kiyasha. Why would a person be afraid? Kiyah, who's becoming wealthy? Who's becoming wealthy? So if the person himself is, how many people are afraid when they become wealthy? If they're zochah to wealth. No one's afraid. What does it mean? Al tira. What it means is don't be afraid when a person is overwhelmed with jealousy. You see a person who you grew up with and you see he becomes super duper successful. And he has no daigus, he has money, more money than he'll ever need. And you say to yourself, him? Him? Why him? Why him, not me? I'm smarter. I'm better. I did everything right. he's a shemazel, and yet he's the one that is blessed with this enormous wealth. There's a jealousy that develops inside of a person's mind. So the Pasuk says, don't worry about it. Don't let that jealousy overwhelm you. Now, why is it called fear? I'm not sure why it's called fear. Don't let that jealousy that you naturally have when you see other people succeed and you're left behind, because it's meaningless. Because what do they really have? They have more daigas? Marbe nechasim, marbe daiga. I know we all say, including myself, don't worry, try it on me. But theoretically speaking, the pasuk over here is saying, altira kiyashers, don't let the kina. This is very important what the mitzvah says. Al tidag b'avur kinas he'oshir, the jealousy of the oshir, because he's not going, yeah. The envy of the al tira kiyasher ki ish ki yirbe kavoid beisoy. Next pasuk yud ches hakol klal uchlal loy.
What's the end of the pasuk?
It continues. You have to continue to the next pasuk. That's why I read the pesukim together. Some of these things have to be read together. Al tira ki yashir ish ki yirbe kvoy beso. Why should you not be jealous? Why should you not let the jealousy overwhelm you? Because it's meaningless. Ki lo vimoy so yikach hakol. He's not going to take with him anything into the next world. Lo yered achrav kvodo. What you're seeing is just it's make-believe. What the person has is truly of no value. It's not going to get him anything more in the next world. He's not going to take all of this with him to where he's ultimately going. Mitzudei Sefer Pasuk Yitches, Hakol, Klol Uchlol, Lo, V'chein Ularosh Ein Kol. Just means he's not going to take anything with him. Lo Yeret, Ela Kever, he's not going to take it to the grave. Next Pasuk Yitches, Ki nafsho bechayov yivarech v'yoducho ki seitiv loch. What does that mean? The Mitzvah David pasuk yitzes ki nafsho hu levad beirech nefesh atzmo bimei chayov. Let's just read the words. The Omar shalom yihieli avoloi nisporech mizulas. But he's not been blessed from anything on the outside. Avol ato kasher teitiv maasecha leheitiv to do good lucha bo'olam haba. Oz hakol yoduchon. It's a very complicated interpretation. What he's saying over here is that what the person has, the ultimate goal is, I'm just going to say some words which don't necessarily make sense, but just to bring out the point, is the goal is acknowledgement. Okay, what I'm saying is not really true, but let's just focus. The goal is that other people will acknowledge that you truly are a person of value. We see very clearly in this world is that the ultimate prize is kavod. Mark, what's more chashuv, money or kavod? Well, how do you know that kavod is more chashuv than money? Because people pay money for kavod. No one pays kavod for money. People they first become very rich, and then what do? Then they give money for kavod. They give money so their name can be on a building. People buy kavod for money. They pay money to buy kavod. No one gives away kavod
sure they do.
For people money.
People sell themselves for money. They'll give their kavod. They'll demean themselves. They'll give away their kavod to get the money.
It's saying good. You're right. So all right. Okay. So I take it back what I said. But I don't take back the principle. My proof is not correct. Generally, the ultimate prize is honor. There are people that are very, very wealthy, and then they're looking for something. They're looking for, people should acknowledge who I am, what I've done, how great I am. This comes from the neshama, because a person realizes, this is what this pasuk over here is saying, when other people are sincere in giving you praise, that means you really, really have accomplished something for real. If a person becomes very, very wealthy, many people say, why him? Why is he so rich? He's not so smart. He's not so swift. What did he do to deserve all this money? Mazel. Mazel. He just got lucky. there's a hashkocha pratis. He's born under a certain mazel. Maybe he has zuchus avos. Maybe someone davened for him. Maybe he got a bracha, whatever it is. When you have something that you don't deserve, that you don't truly deserve, no one will come along and give you praise. The only time you are going to receive praise is when what you have, you earned. Yigias kapecha kisoichel ashrecha v'toivlach. When you earn your keep, then people come along, other people come along and say, this person is a person of value, is a person who deserves to be praised because he earned what he has. So here it's exactly this is the way the Mitzvah is doing Shah the Pasuk. He's saying he is. You see someone in this world become rich. Don't be jealous. His wealth is not because he deserves it. It's a bracha. It's a hashkacha pratis. It's a mazel. And therefore, ultimately, no one is going to praise him for his money. Even though in this world, you see that's not the case. In this world, if someone has money, oh, they become the Gadol Hadar, right? But ultimately, in the next world, no one's going to praise another person because he's rich. The only thing that someone will give praise is for his Meisim Tovim, is for his own accomplishments. Therefore, the advice is, you should improve your ways. You should say the end of the. We have to read it back. We always read it backwards. Ki seitivloch. In this world should work on improving yourself. Work on improving yourself with Torah, u'maisim tovim, in yiras shamayim. And you know what's going to happen? Ultimately, yivareich v'yoyducha. I'm sorry. Just one word. V'yoyducha. Other neshamos and other people will praise you. The fellow that you're jealous of, the only one who praised him was himself. Here you have two people. One person is dirt poor, but he works very hard for himself. Toiro Maisim Toivim, he's honest, he's a good person, he does what he's supposed to do. Next to him is another person who's extremely wealthy and has earned this wealth. No one even knows how he has all this wealth. These two people are praised. They both are recipients of praise. The one that is super wealthy, do you know who praised him? He himself. The one who's wealthy walks around the whole day. You see who I am? I'm a great person. Look how much money I have. I am the only one that's sincerely giving that fellow praise is the person himself. The other person who's dirt poor, but yet is a Yorei Shamayim and a Baal Chesed and does what he's supposed to do, he's also praised. By who? By everyone in society. Or by all of the neshamos in the next world or by Hashem. Two people are receiving praise. One person is receiving praise from others, and the second person is receiving praise from only one person, the person himself. So tell me, which one is real and which one is fake? The one that's receiving praise from others is the real person, and the one that's receiving praise from himself, it's baloney, it's just nonsense. That's exactly what this pasuk says. Don't be jealous of the people who are wealthy and have honor. Because at the end of the day, who's praising those people? Themselves. And the good people who have very little in this world and work on themselves and have Yiras Shamayim, who will praise them? Everyone will, at the end of the day, everyone else will praise them. Ki nafshoi b'chayav yivarech. According to the Mitzvot, this is a very hard psukim. You don't study this very well and think about it. It's almost impossible to say what this means. The subject of these words, ki nafshoi b'chayav yivarech, four words, is describing the rich and famous. The rich and famous. Ki nafshoi, the neshama of the rich and famous, b'chayav, while he is alive, yivarech, praises itself. Koichi v'oitzem yadi osali asachayil hazeh. On the other hand, you take Musar from this, read backwards, ki seitiv loch, don't be like him. You work, be native to yourself, by working on your neshama, by being a Yoreh Shamayim, Maisim Toivim, Chesed, and that and reward for that, you know what's going to happen? The Yoducha, other people will praise you. We're contrasting these two entities. Now let's read again the Mitzvah Stavah. This is how he learns the Pasuk. It's very creative. He's adding in a lot of words, but he's saying a pshat in the Pasuk, which is very satisfying to decipher these extremely difficult psukim.
That it is, there's an interesting song, says, hold on, Odom, Odom doyeg al yimud domov, v'eino doyeg al yimud yomov, domov ein ozer lo, yomov ein chozer lo.
Very poetic. It's very poetic. Okay, so let's read the mitzvahs. Let's see. That's
now,
very
the reason I mentioned it too, besides the value of it alone, Altira it was bothering me. Don't be afraid. So he teaches Altira as Altidog. The Mitsudos. In other words, it doesn't mean, because it doesn't mean don't be afraid of jealousy. It means Altidog, don't be concerned.
Don't let it bother you.
You don't let it bother you. Altidog. Eno doyeg. You know, it's that look.
It's true. It's a doyeg. Because the Pasuk does say do not be afraid.
Right.
And he's changing the meaning. To do not let it bother you, the fact that other people are extremely wealthy and there's no reason for it. They didn't do anything to deserve it. It's a doichik. You're right, it's a doichik. But that's what he's saying.
Okay,
let's very interesting. Now let's review these words very clearly. This is very, because again, it's like yesterday. We learned yesterday, very hard pasuk. Again, very, it's very kedai to dwell upon this pasuk. Yutes, ki nafshai, who Livado. Look how he reads. Again, what he's saying is not the literal translation of this pasuk. The Mitzudis David is reading a lot into the pasuk that it does not say. Who livado? This rich man who has achieved extreme fame, success, wealth. Who livado beirech nefesh atzmo b'meichayov? He's the only one that's praising himself. He's the only one that's tooting his horn. Isn't it amazing? All these rich people, really, they're honored at every single dinner, every organization. Open up the Flavish Jewish Journal. Take a look at the people they honor. They recycle the same people. Okay, you're telling me that there's only one person praising him? What are you talking about? His name is on every building. Every single organization is clamoring to get his money, and they're saying about him that he's the Gadol Hador and he's the genius of geniuses. You know what this pasuk tells you? It's a big lie. It's a big lie. They're all laughing at him. They just want his money. Isn't that the reality? The world of reality? They just want his money, and they're just laughing at him. If he did not, if someone said to me, a certain person, okay, who, whatever, and he said to me, tell me, if he didn't have money, would he be so popular? Everyone is running to him for this and for that. Oh, if he didn't have money, do you think would someone give him a second look? And the answer is no. No one would give him a second look. So what's the answer? The answer is because everyone needs to kiss up to him because of his money. And the truth is, it's not totally accurate. Someone was explaining this to me. Someone explained to me, and what he said to me, I really believe to be 100% accurate. The truth is, the people that are kissing up to him and running to him, they're not getting from him even one penny. They're really not. He gives big money. He gives big money to institutions. He gives very responsibly to why do people want to hang out with him? People like to be associated with successful people. There's something that's supernatural. A person has a pleasure of being connected with people that Hashem has blessed with success.
There's also an osmosis factor.
Even though you get nothing from it. You get nothing from it. Not only you get nothing from not necessarily. There are people, not only they get nothing from it, they have to pay. Some of these very wealthy people, oh, I want you to come to my party. Yeah, I have to go pay for the car service to go pay $50. I have to go do this. The end is, some of these very wealthy people, you end up working for free and giving over of your valuable time and money because because you just feel good about being associated with them, even though they give you nothing. You're embarrassed to ask them for a dollar.
You associate with wealthy people, you get wealth. Like wealth associated with Avraham or
Anoitel Pruta Me'iyov, but not necessarily, not necessarily. There is a special pleasure in being associated with successful people. Yeah, there's a certainly, you know, there's certain perks, you know, there's certain people, there's certain perks, you know, you do certain things, and it trickles down, it goes both ways. So there is something to it.
It's your status, you know, so to speak, being a, I'm a very close personal friend of so-and-so.
Exactly.
You know,
it says in Chazal, it's a very disturbing Chazal, Rebbe Mechabed Ashir. Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim. What does that mean? It's a very disturbing statement. Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, represents the spitz of Emes, the spitz of Torah Lishma.
Our Kodesh Baruch Hu gave them riches, or whatever, for a
purpose. He used the money to save other people.
Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim. What does that mean exactly? You Mechabed Bill Gates. So you Mechabed Bill Gates.
Then he will give money.
What? Okay, so you have to understand what it means.
Who use their money properly.
It doesn't say that. No. It doesn't say that. You're adding a lot of interpretation to the Gemara.
Rebbe, you knew was going to use the money properly. So Rebbe knew what
to It's all subject to interpretation. It's all subject to interpretation. Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim. What does that mean? What does that mean? There are certainly in the time of Rabbeinu HaKadosh Ashirim that were not such great people, not such Yirei Shemayim, and who used their money for a lot of things that were not in accordance with the ways of the Torah.
It's impossible to say that there was an usher who was selfish and nasty, and he was the one who got covered from it.
Well, that's what it says.
Most of the Ashirim were like that, actually.
That's what it says. Someone once explained this to me. This is very. It's a very difficult question. What this means, and you have to appreciate, a person in this world today who is super wealthy, you can't say it's because they're so smart. They're so. It's a special bracha that Hashem has brought upon them. Hashem has highlighted. Hashem has put the spotlight. Memela, Hashem has demonstrated these people, you don't understand why, as long as they're not, you know, big Bali Avera, you know, we're not dealing over here with people that are murderers. There is a concept of there are people who are successful. And a person has a tendency to want to connect to that Shefa that comes down to this world. There's such a mitzvah. Now here we're dealing over here with a certain prat in this concept, and that is, when it comes to the person himself, the way the mitzvah stava learns, no one is really praising them. All the praise that is heaped upon them is fake. Everyone needs them. They need them because they need their money. That's the way the world is. That's why Hashem made this world. They need them. And number two, don't deny the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes them, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given them the limelight, and there's something to that, and you want to connect to that. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you see in them qualities that when you give them praise, that praise is really sincere and honest. I want to connect myself to you, and I want to honor you because Hashem has bestowed upon you bracha, and by giving you covet, we're really giving covet to Hashem, because Hashem, we're acknowledging Hashem has given you bracha. But the praise of the person in the individual qualities and midos, are they really any better than the guy next door who doesn't have a penny to his name? Well, this mizmah, according to the Mitzudas David, says no. That's all a lie. The only one that's praising this person on a personal level, a very personal level, as far as midos, ma'asim tovim, his yerushalayim, is the person himself. The person himself fools himself into thinking the reason why Hashem gave me all of this money, all of this fame and success, is because I'm really a great person. wow, you're living in a world of fantasy. You're no different than anyone else. You might be a good person. Listen, no one's denying. No one is denying that people are good people. Listen, I want to clarify. The people today in society that are very successful and they receive enormous praise, they really are good people. They really, really are. However, the guy next to him, sitting in the audience that doesn't have a penny to his name, you can say the same thing about him also. Okay? So that's what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying chas v'shalom that they're bad people. Chas v'shalom. They're good, wonderful, sincere,
and
honest people.
Very well.
That's right. That's right. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows who can handle the nisayon of money. But the person who's in the audience, who doesn't have a penny to his name and struggles, and is a Yoreh Shamayim, you can say the same exact praise about that person. In his world, in his nisayonis, and his avodas Hashem, he's just as great. He's just as great. The reason why he's not getting the covet and the other person is getting the covet is because this person, he has the money. He's doing a toiva for Klal Yisrael. But and that chashal mean that he doesn't deserve the praise. I just mean is the praise is a definite praise. But it's not a unique praise. It's not unique. The other person who doesn't have praise is also a praiseworthy person. Why not? Look at his avodas Hashem. So if you want to say that something is special, above and beyond, ruba de ruba, not only are exceptions, it's, according to the Mitzudos, ki nafshoi b'chayiv yivarach, only one person that's saying about this individual that he is unique, and that's the person himself, who unfortunately fools himself and thinking I'm special, in some cases. And the Musa Haskell, according to the Mitzudos, is, as we chaz hit home, just to dwell upon this, you said, it's beautiful how he fatayed the pasuk, hu levadoi berich nefesh atzmoi bimei chayav, v'omar shalom yieli. Avoloi nisbarech mizulas, no one is really praising him. However, avol atoi, you who is learning this mizmar, take Musa, if you want to achieve praise from others, which is the real deal, aval ata kaasher when teitiv maasecha, when you do good deeds and no one knows about, and you are yorei shemayim in secret, then you teitiv maasecha leheitiv lecha that will do your good deeds in this world will bring you benefit in the next world. Oz Hakol Yoducha, everyone's going to praise you. That fellow, no one's going to praise him. He praises himself. Yeah. Hashem gave him bracha. Ah, he deserves the bracha. But is he really special? You can say the same thing about him, but everyone else. So if he fools himself and thinks that I'm special, he's only praising himself. But if you work on yourself with authentic Yirah Shemayim and Maisim Toivim, the time will come when everyone, not just yourself, others, will validate you and praise you that you are a very great person. Like the story I always tell you many times, the person in Purim, this is a true story, supposedly, is Purim, who was a very, very wealthy person, and he used to line up around the block on Purim for donations. Vayehi hayoyim, he lost all his money. And it came Purim, no one is lining up around the block. No one. So there's, you are a nobody. And now it was Purim. So the neighbor on the block remembers the good old days. And he says to himself, wow, he must be in mourning. My friend who used to be very wealthy, I remember those good old days. Oh, what was going on over here? The traffic on the block and the limousines and all the costumes and all the music. And now nothing. He must be in mourning. Let me go into his house and sit down with him, commiserate with him, be menachem oval. So he goes into the house, he sits down with him, and they start talking, and sure enough in the conversation, the person begins to pour out his heart, and he says, oh, you remember what it used to be like over here, back a couple of years ago? The traffic on the block, the lines out the door, the music, and what was going on over here. You know, I don't understand. How they don't come anymore to me? Bishloima, I can't give them money. I can't give them money. But at least they should come for my advice.
The fellow who died last week in Chicago.
Chicago, Maury...
Esformus.
Yes.
So a guy, they came always to Moneyton. So one guy comes and knocks on the door, Israeli. He comes in with the Levush and he says, okay, how much you need? He says, I didn't come for money. I came for bracha. He says, I don't give brachas, I give money.
Yeah.
He says, Rav Shach, I went to Rav Shach for bracha. And he says, the same thing, I don't give brachas. If you want a bracha, go to Chicago to...
That's what he said?
Yeah.
How much money did he give him? How much money did he give him? Rabbi Wallerstein, in that book, he has a great story about that. When he comes to Eretz Yisrael, he came to Eretz Yisrael, and he had with him something that was extremely, extremely valuable. And he gets out of the taxi, he starts walking, and then he realizes, where is the package? Where is the package? And he went into a panic like you cannot imagine. I lost the package. And he starts walking, going here, going there, trying to track down the taxi, this. And it was not the typical taxi. It was like a private service. And then as he's in a matzav of panic beyond belief, all of a sudden he sees a schnorr, a collector, who he knows, oh, Rabbi Wallerstein, oh, can you give me a donation? Give me a donation. And like, not now. Like, I'm in, and he didn't say those words. He said to himself, oh no, I don't have patience for this guy now. I'm in a panic. I lost something that is extremely priceless. And like, this guy is chepping me like, oh no. So he takes out $20. He gives him $20. And he says, you look a little disturbed. What's wrong? So he says, I lost something. I lost the package, the taxi, this, that. All right, and then like he pushes him away. All right, a whole week goes by and he has incredible agmas nefesh from this. He goes to the police. The police says, we can't do anything. We go cameras and this store and that store, Gansa Maisa. And the police says, we're not allowed to help you with the private cameras because of all these different things. There's nothing we can do. And he was really, really very, he's time to leave, to go back to America. He's packing up his bags. And all of a sudden, who rings the bell on his in this door over there? The same exact schnarr. Oh no. Again, the schnarr opens up the door. So the schnarr says to him, I'm not here for money. I'm not here for money. I have here for you. I know when I met you that you're very disturbed. You've been very good to me. I have here for you two telephone numbers. I live here. I know people here. These people, they work in government, in the police department, very, very senior level people. They can help you. I don't want money. He takes them, he calls up this person, he tells them what happened. Okay, within a few hours, he has the package. Wow. This police person, they have access to all the cameras, this, that. He tracked it down and he had the package. So here the schnorrer comes, oh no. And the story's even better because he told this, the person there, don't answer the door. Another schnorrer, don't answer the door. I'm not coming for money. I'm coming for you. So you never know. You never know.
All right. Yes. The chief money changer from Meir Sharim was in a taxi.
Yeah.
And he left a bag of over 100,000